The following audio is from All Saints Church. For more information about the church, please visit our website at allsaintsgb.org.
Our Old Testament reading comes to us from Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. God, we thank you for your word, the story of your grace. You may be seated. Some survival facts. You can live 3 minutes approximately without air. You can live 3 hours in extreme temperatures without shelter. You can live about 3 days without water. And you can live approximately 3 weeks without food. But you cannot live a single moment without Jesus. Do you believe this? Do you believe that your survival is dependent upon Jesus? Genesis 1 is asking you to believe this. You cannot live a single moment without Jesus. The original audience of Genesis, they knew all about survival. They didn't have, like we have, furnaces or air conditioning when it was extremely cold or hot outside. They didn't have Woodman's or Costco to stock up when their stomachs growled. They didn't have the Weather Channel app to decide what to wear that day. Instead, their survival was dependent upon the elements, everything around them. And they created within those elements, gods, plural gods and goddesses, each with their own role managing the elements. Gods of the sun, named Ra, Sol, Helios. Gods and goddesses of the water, named Tefnut, Hapi, Poseidon. Gods and goddesses of fertility and agriculture, named Amun, Heket, Isis. Much of ancient humanity believed that without these gods and goddesses, without these deities, they would not survive. They would be in complete darkness. They would be drowned by the seas. They would be without food to eat. And so they depended on these gods, these man-made gods and goddesses for warmth, for weather, for food. And they were always at the mercy of these gods. If we beg enough, if we sacrifice enough, if we obey enough, these gods will make allowances so we can survive. We might hear about the original audience and scoff at them and be like, how foolish in your thinking. But what does modern day humanity believe? What do you believe that without this or without that, I could not survive? What are your modern day gods and goddesses? Those things which give you a sense that you're going to be okay. Is it stuff? If your house were to go up in smoke in T-minus 1 minute right now, what would you grab because you could not live without it? Is it status? What is something you pride yourself in that if it were taken away today, it would make you incredibly insecure? Is it steadiness? What gives you assurance that your future forecast is partly cloudy and 78 degrees? The reality, friends, is that we do depend on things in our life that we believe we could not survive without. But the other reality is a dependence on a god or goddess has actually reversed from the original audience to our audience because we are self-centered. Post-enlightenment, we don't need those gods and goddesses. Why? Because we are the gods and goddesses. We can make light with electricity. Right? We can know every piece of knowledge with our fingertips on Google. We can clone animals for our perfect steak. We can declare our reproductive rights. We can genetically modify food to taste just how we want. We can tap into AI to give us anything we need to know and how to know it. Who needs God when we are God? That's how we live. But I want to ask you, take the sun out of the sky, and what's going to happen to our independence? Turn on the clouds to never stop raining, and what's going to happen to our independence? Get rid of and eradicate every fruit that produces in the field and the trees, and what's going to happen to our independence? We're going to learn dependence instantly. Last week, we talked about the first verse of the Bible, which has God as the first word in the story, the Alpha, the maker of all that is, and he stands outside of it. He's not multi-gods, but he's one God in three persons, separate from all of this stuff, but active in relationship with what he's making. And in the second verse of the Bible, what we know of the world is described as tohu and bohu, without form. Tohu, which means shapeless and blobby. And bohu, void, means that shapeless and blobbiness has nothing in it. It's empty. And so God is going to order his creative work accordingly. He's going to form it. He's going to take that tohu and give a shape to it in the first 3 days of his creation. And then he's going to fill it, that bohu, in the second 3 days of creation. First 3 days are making a good form, a good shape and structure of creation. That's what we're going to talk about today. And the second 3 days serve in filling that good form. That we'll talk about in next week. Good form today, good filling next week. But today, what does God want us to know about this good form in these first 3 days? And it's this. God has formed his good creation in total dependence on Jesus. So we too must live in good form, total dependence upon Jesus. God has formed his good creation in total dependence on Jesus. So we too must live in good form, totally dependent upon Jesus. What does good form mean according to Genesis 1? Three things we see in these 3 days. First, we need his light in order to see. Second, we need him separating waters in order to survive. And thirdly, we need his food in order to sustain us. Light, separating of waters, and food. First, we need his light to see. Look with me at verses 3-5. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God caused a separation between the light and the darkness, calling the light day and the darkness calling it night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. The first word God wants you to hear him speak in his whole entire story of redemption, the first word he wants you to hear him speak is what? Light. Notice God doesn't say, "Let there be sun." No, the sun doesn't come till day 4. He says, "Let there be light." How can you have light without the sun? Because the good form of creation begins with his son. John 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light that is the first thing to form the formless universe comes through Jesus himself. Jesus is not made here when God says, "Let there be light." He is God eternal without beginning or end. No, he's made visible here in light, in what our eyes can see. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1 tells us. He's the firstborn of all creation. That doesn't mean Jesus was born as in he had a beginning. It means he's firstborn as in he's preeminent, greatest, first, holding all rights and privileges. Let there be light without the sun shining is let there be light with the image, the Son of God shining. And oh, God declares in verse 4, that light, it's good. The light of Christ by which everything is seen is the foundation to the good form of creation. The light of Christ, and we need it in order to see anything. It's sometimes easier to understand how much we depend on light when it's not there, right? When it's dark. Night, as the sovereign God outside of all of his creation names darkness, night is where you feel that dependence upon light. Friends, when do your kids feel the most afraid? Night. When are things in your mind often the most confusing and hard to grasp? Or when are you maybe the most anxious in your day? Probably night. When does sin usually ramp up in its frequency and its intensity? Night. When do Wisconsinites tend to get more and more depressed in February? Because the nights are so long. But guess what is promised to us at the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth that will be made after this one? No more night. Even no more sun in the sky. Why? Because we will have the full light of Christ. Revelation 22:5 says, "And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light." In the new home opener, We have no need for sun or lamp because the Lord God will be our light. Consider the good form of the first day of creation, friends, this light that Jesus brings practically to form your prayers. I'll just feed you a six-word prayer that you might consider praying this week. Light of Christ, help me see. Light of Christ, help me see. You have difficult people in your life, right? Every day. Help that prayer form your approach to that difficult person. Light of Christ, help me see them. Let that prayer form your stance in a seemingly no-win situation that doesn't seem to have any room for resolving it anytime soon. Light of Christ, help me see a better way out of this. Even in how we can puff up our view of ourselves and our sin. Light of Christ, help me see my sin. And in your darkest night, when your anxieties are ramping up to their greatest and your fears are stronger than you've ever felt them, light of Christ, help me see. We don't need a sun god. We don't need stronger reading glasses. We don't need more advanced pixelation on our iPhone 57 to see the world around us. We need the light of Christ. Light of Christ, help me see. Secondly, we need Christ separating waters to survive. The second day, verses 6 to 8. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate water from water. And God made the expanse, the vault, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse, that vault, heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. You hear that second word God speak? Expanse. The original word in the Hebrew is rakia, which means it means to stamp with your foot in order to spread something out, or use your hand to spread something out. Think of like crushing an aluminum can or taking a rolling pin to the sky. His word flattens the waters to divide between the clouds and the sea. Clouds and sea. He parts the water into what's below, the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, and what's above, the clouds. Without this division of waters, we could not survive 3 minutes underwater. Water, to the original ancient audience, was terrifying. It was called the deep. And in it was certain drowning and death if you were caught in the water. And the word of God in his grace says, let there be a vault, like a space between the waters, so everything I'm going to make can breathe. Heaven, the word God names for this separation, is everything that's above the earth, as well as the place in which God makes his home. And the good form of creation's second day depends on Christ, who Scripture says holds all things together, to hold these two spaces apart from one another so that his image bearers who end up filling this temple of creation can live. Because what happens when there's not the holding together of the clouds and the seas? What happens? Flood. We're ending our time in Genesis in December with the great flood. The part of the story where God's pure anger and righteous anger over people's rebellion against him can't be held back any longer, and he steps back from holding that expanse open. God lets go of his hand between the seas and the clouds, and nobody can survive. This passage, as I was looking at the second day, because it's a little bit confusing, water between waters and waters, and I was thinking about the miracle of clouds. Think about this for a second. Some clouds, some storm clouds, can hold over 20 million gallons of water in the cloud. 20 million gallons of water. That is the weight equivalent to over 100 million people up in that cloud, up in the sky. Talk about a work of God's hand in holding that up there. How does that happen? It should just fall. Why isn't it falling? His hand is holding it. And we live in the middle. We live in the expanse in which Christ is holding this secure. That expanse, heaven, is a grace of God. And throughout Scripture, it's used to illustrate the grace of God when there's a separation between waters. The original audience are those who are wandering with Moses in the wilderness. And they're hearing Genesis for the first time. And they're hearing about an expanse where waters are divided. Where might their memory go if you know the Old Testament in Exodus? Well, in Exodus, Moses is commanded by God to take the rod of God and put it in the waters of the Red Sea as their enemies are coming after them and open up the waters. And through the waters, the chosen people of God walked on dry land and survived on their way to the promised land. The waters were separated and held as a vault by God's grace. And friends, we have the opportunity every time we practice the sacrament of baptism is to be reminded of those floodwaters where the punishment, friends, for our sin deserves God's removal of hands between those two waters. It deserves flood and death and destruction. But good news, Jesus holds the waters apart for us in being the one swallowed up by the waters instead of us. When we see the waters of baptism come upon a new believer's head or come upon the head of a believer's covenant child, we acknowledge God's sparing and creating breathing space for us through the work of the cross. This holds that expanse together. We have died with Christ as he flooded under the waters in his death, as he was punished for our sin and drowned for our sin. And we come out with him in his resurrection, alive and able to breathe again. Heaven and earth in this new home opener at the end of the story of salvation in Revelation. Promises there will be a day where there will be no need for that separation anymore, where heaven can meet earth and there's no vault between. Revelation 21:1 says, the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. And guess what? The seas, the deadly water, will be no more. The seas will be no more. Night will be no more, and the seas will be no more. No more threat of death and drowning. So living in good form, friends, means trusting, depending on Christ to be the one who drowned in the judgment waters for us. And the one who makes the path between the water and the waters, seas and clouds, so that we can survive. He creates a separation for us to live and breathe. Living in good form means we know that we deserved the flood. But we have faith in the one who the seas and the wind obeys. Think about that story in Matthew 8, which we covered in the spring. When the disciples are with Jesus and he's sleeping in the boat and the seas and the skies are starting to come together and there doesn't seem to be a separation as it's raining and winding and tornadoing and waving and all of these things. And what do they say to themselves? We are going to perish. And Jesus says, shh, shh, sea and clouds, shh. And what do they say? Even the wind and the seas obey him. We are agents, friends, in offering this expanse to those who are drowning in God's coming judgment. We sit on Noah's boat. We have Jesus' cross, and we say to the world, get on with me. Only Jesus can keep you safe, not your customized Boston whaler that cost $50,000. No, only Jesus can keep you safe from drowning, not your Iron Man exercise plan, not your religiousness, not your church attendance, not your doing more good than bad. Only living in the expanse of Jesus' cross where heaven and earth meet can you be safe and you can find peace. Run through the waters by running to Jesus' cross. You need his light to see. You need his separating waters to survive. And finally, you need his food to sustain you. Look at the third day, verses 9 to 13. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good and said, let the earth sprout green, literally. Let it sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brings green, vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kind, trees bearing fruit in their seed according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, day three. The final thing God wants us to see in his good form in shaping this creation is creating ground in which we can stand upon and in which food can grow and multiply. God gives the food needed not only for survival, but for multiplying, for filling. These last few verses, when all this vegetation comes to be, they serve as a bridge between the form, the structure of this earth, and the filling of it. As the color of earth turns the color of life, it turns the color green. But note, in order for the world to turn green on the third day, there had to be the first and the second day. You can't have the color green without light and without water, without the first 2 days. Light from heaven and water from heaven. And the same goes for a life with Christ. You can't have the color green of life without the light of Christ causing you to see who God is, causing you to see your sin against him by editing him out of the story, and cause you to see Christ separating the waters and giving you a way in which to walk out of your judgment waters alive. Now that we are alive in him in creation order, we have this third day, his spirit doing in us what? Bearing fruit for multiplication. I'm a brown thumb, self-admittedly. I moved. Last year, I was a black thumb, if you saw my garden last year. Black thumb. This year, I'm a brown thumb. And it helped with the seasons and how the weather worked. But my cucumbers this year were amazingly plentiful. They multiplied and took over the entire garden. And I had this one cucumber that was like a baseball bat size. It was like this big. It waited too long to take that one out. But when I cut it open, that cucumber, what do you see inside of a cucumber? Specifically cucumbers, you see a ton of them. So many seeds, right? One cucumber could plant over 200 cucumber plants, couldn't it? Because it contains that many seeds. A seed that has to go in the ground and give itself up so that more plants can grow. The third day is a day of beginning this multiplication and filling. When you think about the gospel, what happens on the third day? He's alive. There's life. And the church begins to multiply and grow. The third day of creation is much like our life. as we died to ourselves in Christ on that cross, and we were raised to new life on the third day in his resurrection, we go green. Not talking about becoming an environmentalist. There's nothing wrong with caring for God's good creation. We go green. We bear fruit of God's Spirit as we're alive in him. Fruit like love and joy and peace and patience. So the world can taste and see the fruit that God is real. God is good. The creation story in and of itself, it's such a beautiful picture on its own, written to make sense of everything that we see around us. But it has to be more than that. It has to be a beautiful picture written to make sense of Christ and his new creation, his new heavens, and his new earth that he's making. We must depend on Jesus as our food. And who depends on agricultural metaphors more than Jesus? What does he call himself? I am the bread of life. And what does he do with that bread in a miracle? He multiplies it so 5,000 people can eat. Jesus says, my bread is a perfect body that's now on earth called you, the church, the body of Christ, multiplying on the earth. Jesus also calls himself, I am the vine, and you are the spread out branches. Day 3 of creation gives us an encouragement to depend on Jesus to produce fruit in us that the world may enjoy the grapes of grace, or they might spit them out in disgust and say, I don't want any of that. Good form, depending on Christ, says we will bear fruit according to our kind. We are a church made up of many parts, many nations, many personalities, many different tasting wines sitting at this table. But we are an extension of the true vine and the bread of life to the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we are the fruit-bearing body of Christ. That's our call, friends. We are here to green up the world. Because of the third day. One psychology author describes what the color green can do to people. It says this, green is a color that can evoke powerful emotions. It's a dominant color in nature that makes you think of growth. Think of nature and see the incredible variety of shades of green expressing renewal and life. Green evokes a feeling of abundance and is associated with refreshment and peace, rest and security. That's what the color green does. I feel that every mid-May, because it's not April that it gets green in Wisconsin, it's mid-May, that you're like, green again. There we are. We're coming to life again. And where do we live, friends? What city do we live in on this home opener as I see two G's right now? Where do we live? Green Bay. I want you to think of the name of our city and remember our mission that we're given from Jesus. Good form, living dependent on Christ, makes it our mission to green Green Bay. Green Green Bay. Green Green Bay. With third day resurrection life, I've been saved from the floodwaters. I am now called the light of the world and the light of Christ on this good form home opener. It is my call to go and green Green Bay. Father in heaven, we thank you for the good form of your creation. We thank you for how you shaped it and formed it according to your will and according to your word. I thank you that it points us to Jesus, the light of the world. It points us to Jesus, the one who separated the waters so we could live. Points us to Jesus, the one who came out of the grave on the third day, rose again so that we could live. Make our lives dependent upon Christ, His light, His salvation, His food. We need Him to survive. And we have Him to Green Green Bay. Help us, Father, in our mission as a church to go out and Green Green Bay with the multiplying life of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray.